Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
With a beautiful coastline, plentiful fishing, and welcoming people, the Canadian province of Newfoundland is a charming destination. However, folks who spend time near one town's infamous pond may encounter something more than just a regular fish. Is this town inhabited by a sea monster, or have witnesses been sucking down too much screech and seeing things? This week's episode is The Monster of Dildo Pond.
In the night, your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome.
Oh man, I've needed this. I've been needing this.
When we get a hold of a dildo off, and that's what we say first.
Yeah, I also let out a big sigh ahead of time, like, oh man, I have been needing this.
Here it goes. Shout out to the several people emailed this to us. And the second you screenshot and said, hey, we got this in an email, I go, add it to the schedule. So the next open slot we had on the schedule, we immediately just added it. Because normally we like when and we did get several submissions through the form. So definitely use the form. But in this case, you have a headline like the dildo monster. Don't hide
it. How are
it.
You going to pass that up? You can't. And no. Just FYI, when you Google dildo monster, results vary.
Turn on safe search. You got to
turn it off. The first, 20 or so searches did not yield the results I needed. But I will be looking forward to the targeted ads that are surely coming my way.
Yeah, I was very thoughtful when I did the written intro that I did not just say, this week's episode's the dildo monster. I was like, maybe if I do the monster of dildo pond, like for search purposes, that'll be more helpful and get us. Although, welcome to any perverts who were searching dildo monster in the future and this came up. I'm sorry, it's about a cryptid, but you're welcome because it's funny.
It is. And, we're not here to kink shame, so stick around. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two. And then you can go about what you originally set out to find.
Continue your search. We're not here to stop you. We're just a pit stop along the way. But I would love to make a pit stop at this place. It sounds amazing.
Oh, my God.
I'm obsessed.
Name aside, so beautiful, picturesque. That whole part of Canada is just so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at pictures like, people live here. They get to just enjoy this every day. What a life that must be.
Yeah, no, Anita, up in the Pacific Northwest, like the Islands of the Seawolf thing, or anytime I got somehow on Washington State Park algorithm on Instagram. I don't know how, but nice. I liked one of them. And then I started liking another one. So now I get a ton of my algorithm is stuff from up there. And I'm like, you folks live in a fucking Tolkien novel. It's beautiful.
Really?
Just magical. And with a name like Dildo, you can't go wrong. But we got to get there. They're welcoming tourists.
Yes. And there's quite a lot to do, as we will discuss. And you can also go monster hunting.
Come for the monster. Stay for the Dildoians. Because they're amazing. We're going to come for the dildo at some point in Newfoundland. But in the meantime, we're going to come for the San Diego, the Phoenix, and the Las Vegas here in September for our full moon energy tour. We're traveling west, but southwest instead of northwest.
We're going to the southwest. Not quite as cool and breezy as the northwest, but I think San Diego is going to be very nice and accommodating. We'll be on September 17th, then Phoenix on the 18th, and Las Vegas on the 19th. It is such a fun show. We don't release it on the feed. It's everything you love about the show, but it's all about the moon, cryptids, true crime, witchy stuff, what really happened on the Apollo missions.
Mm-hmm. Much like you'll hear today, where we dug in and found weird quotes from people and strange stories and miss. That's what we love to do with any topic. So we took all the things we do with all of our main feed topics and did it to the moon. So check out our full moon energy tour for all the details, including dates, times, venues, and more. Visit sinisterhood.com/live shows. And we'll see you in San Diego, Phoenix, and Las Vegas in September. And we're finishing it out here in Dallas on October 17th. Don't miss it. My mom made a cape for me. That's all I'm going to say. She brought it over for me to try it on.
How's it going?
It's detachable parts.
It's detachable?
There's a part of it that's detachable. It's great. She was like, so I was debating.
It's not just a cape, but it's other things too.
So it is a jean motorcycle vest, which is what we described. And there is a cape element to the bottom, but you can also take the cape off if you're going to ride on a motorcycle. It's great.
That's nice. So you can do a costume change.
That's the thing about Nancy McKinney is you say an idea and then she executes it as a vision. She turns an idea into a vision, truly.
She's a visionary.
She's wild.
Much like the people of Dildo.
That's what you do. You take a bizarre, strange idea and you turn it into something that'll entertain folks. And that's what they're doing. And hopefully that's what we're doing.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Dildo Pond is a freshwater lakelet a quarter of a mile inland from Dildo Harbor, near the head of Trinity Bay in Newfoundland, Canada. The six-mile-long pond is bordered on one side by Blaketown, a tiny place that boasted around 250 residents in 1950. The pond stretches 3 miles west at its widest and just a quarter of a mile across at its narrowest. The deepest point of Dildo Pond is 360 feet. Two islands lie not far from one another at the pond's center. The larger island, called Big Island, comprises 12 acres of land, while the aptly named Little Island is just 3 acres. When newcomers arrive in the area, especially at a pub, they may experience a rite of passage known as a screech-in. The ceremony begins with introductions and a recitation of lines. The master of ceremonies, dressed in a yellow fisherman's slicker, will ask,
"Is ye a screecher?"
You are meant to reply,
"Deed I is, me old cock, and long may your big jib draw."
Then you kiss a dead codfish and take a shot of Screech, the area's high-proof, locally made alcohol.
The way I would so do this.
Oh, this is, you had me at, "Is ye a screecher?" Like, I love any kind of quirky, weird thing that's very specific to a small town that is, you know, only the residents and people that have been accepted get to be a part of it. I'll kiss a cod. I'm fine with that.
A rite of passage. Exactly. I like that. And I know I say hell yeah a lot, but I'm going to have to start saying deed I is me old cock, because that's it's like deed I is me old cock. And they're like, you have to stop saying that. I'm like, you just don't. You're not from Newfoundland. You don't
you're
get
like,
it.
You're not from Dildo.
You don't so get it. Go
you're
to
not
Dildo.
A Dildoian.
Nope.
The term screech is mostly used to describe a rum that is 40% alcohol by volume, but is sometimes used to describe other high-proof spirits, including moonshine. The frequent consumption of this high-proof spirit is often cited by outsiders as a reason to doubt the credibility of eyewitness reports of strange occurrences in the town.
I like when something like this has got a fun name like Screech, because it's great to say, "I think he's been hitting the old Screech." And you're like, "Dustin Diamond? He died." You're like, "No, Screech the drink." Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Man, I got so screeched last night in Dildo. You don't even know.
Fucking screeched in Dildo. That's where the girl that you have a crush on goes and dates someone else and you're all set.
How the town got its name is the subject of some dispute. According to the National Post, the first recorded use of the name for the area was in 1711. The town was settled over 60 years later in 1775. Etymologists believe the word used in today's common parlance to mean a sex toy likely derives from the Italian word diletto, meaning to delight. The first dildo was discovered in a German cave and was thought to have been used by people in the Ice Age 28,000 years ago, according to Columbia University.
So old. So much. That's a long time that we've been like, I'm going to try to stick some up there.
since the first person realized they could.
Yeah, it's a man.
It's been, no one looked back.
They're like, you want this sharp stick? Fuck no. Let's get some round edges and we'll talk. And then, you know what? It just, if it fits. If
I don't fits. Understand what, I mean, you use the tools you have.
Mm-hmm.
And 28,000 years ago, you had stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Perhaps a tusk of some animal.
I didn't think about that. I think when I was a kid, let's just use this. When I was a kid, we would take popsicle sticks. We got a popsicle stick every time we ran a lap at the field at, mm-hmm. on PE. And then you got three popsicle sticks. You could go play or whatever. Well, you had to sit down at the on the pavement. We would rub them and we would on either end to turn them into a sharp shiv. Similarly, I think if you had a shivved sharp object, you can rub the point down to make it more rounder. So that's probably what happened. You know, you find something that's reasonably close to what you're looking for and you modify it.
And you got to tweak it a bit. Yeah. Now, did it have the bells and whistles? It did not. Nothing was battery operated. You know, it was like the when you get the thing to crush spices.
Yeah. Just,
you know. Yeah. One of those, you know, the little...
Like a mortar and pestle?
Yes, that's, yeah. That's what I imagined. It was just that little thing.
It's exactly what it is. I feel like the Ice Age dildos walked so the ones today could... Truly. Truly.
Truly, not just run, drive.
They some of those things are crazy.
By the Renaissance period in the 1500s and 1600s, the word was more commonly used with members of upper crust society that would have custom ones made from ivory, silver, and other fine materials. So it stands to reason the word was possibly known to those who named the town. There's speculation that the place was named for a plant in the area called a...
dildo tree.
Some others believe it was a misinterpretation of a Spanish word. Still, others believe the name is in reference to the word for a peg used to secure an oar on a rowboat that resembled the age-old sex toy.
Well, if we want to know where dildos come from, it's a dildo tree, obviously.
The harvest
they gotta
was
grow
good.
Somewhere. Yes.
Get the bushels. The harvest was good this year. You just pluck them off. Just get a big basket.
Oh, man. If you could have a money tree or a dildo tree, which one are you taking?
I feel like a money tree, because then you could buy unlimited things with it. But
that's
if it
true.
Was a dildo tree or a regular, you know, a tree that just has like acorns or something dumb on it, I'd go with that. That's way more fun. You could at the very least put a fence up around and charge people tickets to see it. And
yeah.
Tell them you keep one. You play. You can. It's like an apple orchard. You could come pick one and take it home.
Yeah, come pick your own dildo. They're great this time of year.
Another popular theory as to how the small outport in Trinity Bay got its name has to do with a cheeky explorer. James Cook was an explorer, navigator, and cartographer in the British Royal Navy during the mid-1700s. In 1763, he was also appointed as the Marine Surveyor of Newfoundland and Labrador. Accompanied by his assistant, Michael Lane, the two men explored and mapped the picturesque area. Discovering new inlets and coves was exciting, but the real thrill for the men came from naming their discoveries. They especially enjoyed making each other giggle with the titles. Their sense of humor led to local areas being named Tickle Bay, Witless Bay, Cuckold's Cove, and Spread Eagle Island, according to the Newfoundland and Labrador Tourism Reps. I can't even talk because of Spread Eagle Island.
Hey, man. You get shipwrecked on Spread Eagle Island.
Oh, you don't want to be shipwrecked on Spread Eagle Island.
Or
oh,
do you?
Man. Oh.
I really like the idea, though, that they're just laughing at these names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These were just a few. There was one of them hurt their hand at one point. It was called, like, Unfortunate Bay or something. I mean, like pretty on
that
the nose.
Bay. Stub Toe Bay. Guess what? Well, I found this 1985 CBC posted a video of a lady going around interviewing people in dildo because in the people of Cuckold's Cove actually changed their name later to Dunfield, which more respectable, but less fun. Less fun.
Way less fun.
Call it Cuckold's Cove and then just have a bunch of motels and then people know what they're getting into going there. And there was a place called Gayside, and there was a debate on whether they were going to rename that. And one guy said, well, people in the 80s, once that became more of a use of the term for like the gay community, he's like, if I say Gayside, people look at me queer. Like, I think meaning weird, but it was, I think they left that quote in because the CBC was like, I don't think you hear what you're saying, sir. But they renamed Gayside to Baytona. So
Baytona?
That's what I said. They go, which is not embarrassing at all. And I was like, yeah, it is. It's Daytona with a B. That's crazy. Go back to Gayside.
You could have also lean in. Why didn't you just go Bayside?
Nope. You could have saved so much money on the sign by just changing the G to a B.
Baytona? So,
I believe, like, there might have been another place called Bayside already, and they had to just go like, well, what are we going to do?
The only way this is acceptable is if it's spelled B-A-E, Tona, and then I'll take it.
That's what they should have named it. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small, but sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
Well, perhaps the two men outdid themselves and named the coastal town Dildo simply for the laughs. Regardless of origin, the most interesting thing about the town is not its name, but what lurks within. A publication called Newfoundland Stories and Ballads, published in 1960, summed up the area.
Taking the general features of Dildo Pond into consideration, it would be a nice, snug, cozy place for a sea monster to dwell in. And there is definitely a monster inhabiting Dildo Pond.
Dun, well, dun, there's dun. Nothing a dildo likes more than a nice, snug, cozy place to gotta dwell
go
in.
Snug and cozy. So that was another reason why they go, maybe they named it because it's kind of shaped like a vaginal canal.
Yeah, and I read that too. Well,
there you go. Maybe that door. Yeah, perhaps. You never know.
But in the area, large beasts inhabiting the waters are not so unusual. Nearby British Columbia boasts two of its own water-based legendary creatures, the Ogopogo and Caddy the Cadborosaurus. Newfies near Dildo in the early 1950s were not shy, boasting that their very own sea monster was
bigger and more authenticated
than both of their neighbors' bathing beauties.
I like a situation where you're like, you have a cryptid? Fuck your cryptid.
You know what? I got a cryptid, and it's twice as big.
It's like, I can do whatever I want with my cryptid, because it's fake and made up. Is it, though? Because there are we've talked about the Ogopogo and Caddy the Cadborosaurus very briefly when we talked about the Salish Sea mystery. Mm-hmm. I won't lie to you all. I was just trying to briefly look up how close British Columbia and Newfoundland were. I thought they were close. They might be on the other side of the country. It might be like California, nearby New York. Like, technically, they're nearby because they're attached to the same land. But
true.
Just throwing that out there. But yeah, I think the Ogopogo is a more indigenous legend that, like, that lasts, you know, goes back tons and tons of centuries. But the Caddy Cadborosaurus has been more of that new cryptozoologist coming in, and that was one of the potential theories put forth in that Netflix series that potentially that's why there was the Salish Sea Feet mystery, is that this Cadborosaurus was eating people. It's obviously, if you listen to the episode, it's much sadder than that. But we did address that because that was like a Netflix show brought it up.
Yeah, right? Much sadder and more logical.
Yeah, yeah.
But Caddy the Cadborosaurus sounds like a fun kid's book. That's
such a good name.
Go on a lot of fun adventures in the Pacific Northwest.
Let's do it.
The Vancouver Sun investigated Dildo's water-based monster and identified
15 adults of unquestioned integrity
that were willing to swear before a judge that they had seen the monster. The newspaper gave the beast the moniker
Dildo Sus. They couldn't have known. They couldn't have known.
Dildo Sus. Oh, what is Urban Dictionary's definition of Dildo Sus? Probably, like, you're like, No, that dildo looks sus, man.
Yeah.
That's dildo sus. When, like, you think you know what something is and what it's used for, but then you have to question yourself if it's really supposed to be used for that.
You're like, that's sort of dildo sus. Like, I'm not sure if I would use that for that. So, feels dildo sus to me. I'm not going for it.
Mm-mm. The first ever person to witness the monster was an early settler in the area, identified in reports only as Nielsen. He arrived in the area in the 1890s from Norway with plans to set up an experimental fish hatchery. His specialty was crossing various types of fish eggs to develop new spawns. For company, Nielsen kept a flock of ducks alongside him on one of the two islands located within the pond.
I love this idea that he has duck friends immediately.
Just like Mahaley Lancaster had a... like 10 dogs that ran around with her. This guy's got ducks. I like somebody that is bold enough to have a flock or a herd or some kind. It's not just like one.
Mm-mm.
You're coming with a whole posse.
Yeah. And especially of a, like, dogs, hers were like scrappy street dogs. It's not like she said, I have these dogs and they're all trained. It was, they just listened to her. And in the same way, I think a bunch of scrappy pond ducks, they want to roll with Nielsen. They saw what he could do in that hatchery.
Right?
They're like, what are you making in there, Dr. Moreau? What the fuck?
During an early morning row to the mainland, Nielsen heard his ducks
squawking as if in terror.
According to Newfoundland stories and ballads, what looked like a large black fish with an odd-shaped tail was chasing his ducks. When the dildo sus breached the water and made itself known, the ducks flew the coop. After gathering his things, the Norwegian was not far behind, according to the Vancouver Sun. He packed himself up and left his fish hatchery behind. Just before he left, he told several townspeople what he had seen, warning them to beware the monster of Dildo Pond.
And they're like, beware? Where are you going? I'm getting the fuck out of here. Wait, what? Is it okay? I don't know. I can't know. None of us can. Bye. And you're like, Nielsen, what? You just got here.
If he saw it and is fleeing with all his ducks, I'm right behind him.
Well, there's no point to live alone on an island if your ducks are gone. You're like, well, the fucking dildo sus scared my ducks away. Now I'm out here alone and there's a cryptid. Bye. Sorry, as beautiful as dildo is, I can't stay.
No. The monster was not seen frequently by Blaketown residents after that. Following Nielsen's initial run-in, it only made itself known once every few years. The most frequent witnesses were fishermen and hunters who found themselves on the shores of Dildo Pond. A fisherman named John Smith saw the monster during an early morning walk in the 1930s. Like Nielsen, he saw an enormous, odd-looking black fish measuring the length of a rowboat. No one believed Smith, with townspeople doubting his account due to his advanced age.
A rowboat is a big, for a smallish pond, that's a pretty big beast to see. And that fucking sucks that you go back and you're like, do you remember that guy ran out of here and warned us? I saw the thing he saw. And they're like, okay, grandpa, let's get you back to bed. It's like, but I saw it.
Yeah. You're like, well, what? I'm not making it up. I'm just verifying. But a rowboat and a fish pulls up next to you that's the length, what, 6, 7 feet, 8 feet?
It could
that's
be,
too big.
That's
too
so big. Yeah.
What if you tump over and now you're in the water with that?
Eye to eye with something that it's that much bigger than you? No.
Taller than me.
That's so big. And me. It's so big.
Just wrap itself around you.
I think it would drag you down.
Oh.
The dildo monster drags you down.
In the 1940s, a pair of hunters spotted the monster during a bird hunt. While they remained steadfast in what they saw, some townsfolk doubted the creature's existence, instead attributing the sightings to an overindulgence of screech.
They're just trying to chug their screech and get their hunt on. And again, you're denying the lived experience of these men.
Everyone wants so badly to not believe that this dildo monster is in the pond that they're just brushing everybody's accounts off.
They're like, have you seen the Google search results unfiltered? It's horrible. It can't be living in there. It's got so many arms. It's worse than a kraken.
Yeah. They're like, well, he was crossbreeding a lot of different types of fish eggs.
Crazy.
We're not really sure what happened. An eyewitness in 1956 saw the dildo sus breach the pond surface during his lunch break. He sat on the far side of Dildo Pond with his back to the water, enjoying a meal while on break from work at a nearby mill. The unnamed witness told the news that upon hearing splashing in the water, he turned around and...
There he was. I saw him just as plain as daylight.
Norman Mercer was another witness. As owner of one of Blaketown's 60 sawmills, the Vancouver Sun described Norman as...
A sane and sober 41-year-old.
Norman had seen the monster on more than one occasion. He told Newfoundland Stories and Ballads of his initial encounter in the summer of 1947.
The first time I saw the monster, I thought I had suddenly gone insane. Yes, sir, I actually doubted the evidence of my own eyes.
He watched as the monster breached the surface before swimming for several yards parallel to where he was. Norman explained later,
I told nobody of my experience, as I was greatly afraid that nobody would believe such a fantastic tale anyway.
Well, yeah, nobody's believed anybody else, so I would keep my mouth shut too. Especially when they're like, describe you as a sane and sober. It's almost like, we dare you to talk about what you've seen. We've already told everyone that you're credible and you're about to sully your name with like, this.
Come on, Mercer. Also, he's a business owner. And if there's 60 sawmills in a pretty small town, it sounds like a competitive business. So mm-hmm. He had a lot to risk by coming forward is what saying about Norman. She's doing a public service.
We've seen this a lot, especially in Freaky Fridays, of mm-hmm. people seeing things and then they're so afraid of mm-hmm. what the community will think of them or that they'll be made fun of that they just kind of hold on to it. And then later they're like, you saw the dildo monster? I saw the dildo monster too.
Mm-hmm. They're like, I took one sip of Screech and there it was. And they're like, see, that's what it was. It was a Screech. It's like, I can drink my Screech and I can know what I saw. Okay. But I agree.
One sip of Screech does not a dildo monster make. You got to have a growler, I think, before you're in dildo monster territory.
You got to slug it down. I do. I think that that when people deny other people's like alleged sightings of these cryptids, that's how we have so few cryptids that are publicly known. Because I feel like, go back to the Kraken episode, whenever people started believing people that they saw Krakens and following up, that's when we realized it was a giant squid. So if you just go, yeah, right, whatever. This could be some weird species that nobody investigated because they're all just talking shit about everybody that saw it.
What if it's a 6-foot fish that's shaped like a dildo?
They're like, it's like, you made me, you made me, psh, and it splashes back and swims away.
Oh, and to all the people out there that are like, we got to find it and kill it and hang it up for everyone to see. Don't.
No.
Because I want to live in a world where I know that a 6-foot dildo fish is swimming around peacefully in a pond, minding its own business.
We don't need to mount that on the, you don't take the things that you have in your house and mount them on your mantle. You keep them tucked safely away. Visit them when you want to, but you don't. Destroy it for the sake of just, oh, look what I've done. Embarrassing.
No, you keep them in a closet and you keep them in the bedroom in a drawer or the closet.
Under the bedside
occasionally
table.
You enjoy it. Yeah. But if I came home and it was mounted to a wooden plaque above my mantle,
a fucking big mouth questions. Billy Bass, better not pushing that button.
He pushed that button.
Oh, solid doom, 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 doom. You ain't nothing but it. You're like, how are you singing man. This music?
We had one of those. God, I gotta get one of those. Ella would love a bit. So would Simon. I would never not hear that.
Oh, your house.
The day I introduced that to them, I hear it forever until I die. Norma described his second encounter with the monster, a pond-side interaction he had near his mill. He was inspecting some logs he had soaking in the water when...
Suddenly, I heard the water swirling and splashing, and there was the monster approaching the bank.
Norman quickly called for some witnesses, two employees and his own brother. Despite being outnumbered by the four men, the dildo sus seemed unbothered, with Norman explaining...
The monster paid no attention to us, and it came to within a few feet of our logs before turning and swimming away. As it turned, it lashed the water into a boiling foam, and 10-foot logs, a foot in diameter, were tossed on end and thrown about like matchsticks. That's a powerful dildo monster if it stands up against four men.
Dude, and it creates a boiling foam and stuff gets tossed around. To me...
This is dangerous.
If I'm rating this on Amazon, I'm probably giving it 5 stars. It sounds like it's going above and beyond.
It's like 5 stars. Can toss about 10-foot logs as if we're matchsticks. Intimidated 4 men. 5 stars.
Ding, ding, ding.
Would recommend.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
Norman's final encounter with the dildo monster was on a Sunday afternoon in August. He and his wife were sitting on their veranda, facing the pond. He told reporters,
"We observed the monster come to the surface an eighth of a mile offshore. It came toward us at a pretty fast clip."
When the monster was within 40 feet of the bank, it made a quick turn, swimming northward before diving beneath the surface again. Another time, a half dozen residents saw the monster on October 29, 1949, just as the ice was settling on Dildo Pond.
And that's something to consider as well, that people are trying to determine what it is, understanding that for several months out of the year, there is a solid ice sheet on Dildo Pond, or maybe not thick enough to build a house on, but it is thicker that something would not be able to breach the surface as easily. And I'm like, well, you would have to be able to look at the entire surface area of the whole pond. There might be a little place for it to sneak up and breathe. Or, as some estimated, is it just going down for months or years at a time, lying in wait?
That's what I've heard. Like, I saw something recently, frogs and other fish, like in areas like this, they really just go dormant. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're alive, but they're like hibernating. And so once things thaw, they just regenerate and come back. It's truly miraculous. But why couldn't the 6-foot dildo do that? Maybe everyone got in a relationship and right now they're good. And then in a couple months, that relationship fails. By then, the pond has thawed and you need the monster once again.
You come and knock on that frozen pond, crack it open, and there it is. It was waiting for you. It needs to be recharged, sure, but it's right there waiting for you.
He never left.
He never left. He's like Richard Marx.
He's always right by your side. In 1959, a taxi driver traveling along the west side of Dildo Pond saw the monster
swimming leisurely along just a few yards from the bank,
according to Newfoundland Stories and Ballads. After the increasing encounters, residents no longer regarded witness accounts with skepticism.
Especially, you're just some guy trying to drop off your fare. You're like, I took another guy up to Dildo, and they're like, oh, watch out for the pond monster. He's like, I saw it. He gets back and fucking, I saw something, you guys. And no one believed me. They all ask if I was drinking Screech.
Right? Now, finally, see, this is the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. Enough people came forward with their observations. So they're like, okay, we believe y'all. There is something in there.
It's no longer a myth.
Descriptions of the beast are mostly similar. It has the head of an eel, measuring about 3 feet long. Its neck is 5 feet long, slimmer than its head. The body was the size of a large rum cask. Its eyes are round and as big as the top of an ordinary drinking glass. They bulge out like a frog's eyes. Its tail, strangely, is the exact shape of the back end of an airplane. The entirety of its body has not been seen, though, so the mechanisms propelling it through the water remain unknown. The monster seems to swim more steadily and less like a serpent, leading some to speculate whether it has fins or flippers. In total, the Dildosus measures about 50 feet in length.
That's a big fucking dildo.
Well, we went from a rowboat size to way fucking bigger.
I think it's growing. It sounds like in the early 1900s, it was like small to moderate. It got around rowboat size in the 40s, and it's just a big old honker. It just kept going.
It's like just, if it's the only fish. One of its kind in there, it's like a what?
Like a koi fish. It just grows as big as right? what it's in.
Yeah. And if it's the only one in there, it's got the dibs on all of whatever it eats and shit. So it's just getting bigger and bigger.
No, I agree. And I feel like the koi fish example, I thought of it because my mom had a pond with a koi fish, mm-hmm. and they were like, it'll never get big enough to hit the sides. That thing was huge. I thought it was going to grow an arm and climb its way out. It was so big. So just because things shouldn't grow bigger than the area they're in, like, they still can. But I earlier was reading this and I was like, I got to draw this because it says it had the head. Of course, I should have used a darker pen. I'll scan this. I'll get Paris to scan it and I'll show it. Let me take a picture and text it to you. But Paris can put it on screen. But I was trying to draw out what it would look like if it had an eel-shaped head. And I'll tell you what. You know what an eel is shaped
like. So that's, this whole thing sounds like something you could get at Christie's Toy Box. No relation, so sadly. She's probably a fucking gazillionaire. I wish I owned that fleet of sex jobs. Like,
Christie's Toy Box. There's another Christie's Toy Box.
Man, wait. I got to look at this photo.
So, I mean, tell me I'm wrong. The head of an eel, 3 feet long. Its neck is 5 feet long, slimmer than its head. So it's bulbous at the head and it slims down. Eyes are as big and round as, like, bulging out like frog's eyes.
Yours look like it's got a bit of a walleye situation.
Well, I wasn't too accurate on that. But then its tail shaped like an airplane tail or a suction cup. You tell me. I don't know.
Also, its little flippers are very cute. Looks like... we were rating whales last night.
Beluga
whales. Top five favorite whales. What was the one though that looks, we were like, hey guys,
that's sperm whale.
Sperm
whale was like, what's up?
He kind of has the arms of the fins of a sperm whale. Like, but this looks like it would be about what you would think. Yeah. And this thing is 50 fucking feet.
It said its body was the size of a rum cask. So I drew, my rum cask isn't great, but it was for scale. I think that's what
I like the rum cask for scale because it's also, I don't know that that's what the size of a rum cask really is.
I was like, well, if its middle part's 10 feet, that's how mathematical I was in drawing it. Thought it was very interesting that there's a round eel-shaped head. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And like handles at the bottom.
Just in case.
Although the monster was only ever seen in the pond, residents still worried whether it could walk on solid ground. As the monster grew, townspeople worried that it required more and more fish to eat. When it got its fill on fish and was still hungry, they feared it could threaten local farm animals like cattle, sheep, and horses. Residents soon prevented their children from playing down near the pond for fear of the monster crawling out and eating them.
What a tale. Like, stay away. Beware ye dildo pond, for the dildo monster may come drag you to the depths and turn you into a dildo too.
Like, that's kids how it don't works. Have enough to worry about. Right. Gotta be worried about eaten by a giant dildo.
You're getting for Jonah real, in the whale.
Having never seen this or having seen it, either way, I'm like, you can't play down by that pond because there's a chance this thing comes up out of the water and grabs you.
For real, you never know. Because they didn't ever see its arms, so my fins were just an estimation. It could have full, just like human arms under there. We don't know what was getting crossed down under in that hatchery.
Or it just leaps, it propels itself out, grabs them, yanks them back down under.
Damn. Wrong down.
There are three main theories for how the dildo sus ended up in the pond, according to Newfoundland stories and ballads. The first theory is that the monster, in a much smaller infant form, swam from the ocean through Dildo Brook into Dildo Pond when it was young. There, it feasted on local fish and grew to its enormous size. It was then unable to make it back through Dildo Brook. Thus, it made its home in the pond where it remained for decades.
If it connects to the sea... And there's weird stuff over there in the sea. Who's to say what made its way into the pond and the brook?
I was going to say that, too, about when it freezes, that if it connects to the sea, it could swim out into the sea and, you know, get the stuff it needs to get and then wait for it to unthaw and come back.
That's what they're thinking. I don't know if it's as big as a rum cask in 50 feet, if it would fit through the brook, because I don't know how big the brook is, but I think that fits theory, too.
Or it has legs that we don't know about and it crawls up on the land and just walks right over it.
It's got an ATV. It's just like quad biking it.
The second theory is that the monster entered the pond via a subterranean tunnel from Trinity Bay. The third and most popular theory is one that most residents believe, according to the stories and ballads. Norwegian hatchery owner Nielsen, who had first seen the monster, was actually responsible for its creation. Legend goes that he had experimented with fish eggs, crossbreeding species never before combined. As a result, he created the giant monster. Nielsen concocted his eyewitness story to warn the villagers of the dangers of the beast before fleeing town.
Yeah, I mean, when he left, he's just like, watch out, beware the monster in Dildo Pond. And then he's running off and they're like, where did it come from? And he's like, I didn't hear you. Just keep going.
He's in that hatchery playing God.
Yes, creating this. He's like, dildo, but we don't have a giant dildo? Oh, I've got it. And he takes the eggs and he takes some shavings from a homemade device. Who knows? Mixes them up in a petri dish. Listen, I'm no scientist, but that's the most, probably the most likely story.
Which is wild when you think, how many other people do stuff like that? Or what do we have because of someone doing that? Like two species that would never naturally breed,
mm-hmm.
but human forces them to. Then we get a 50-foot dildo monster.
We're playing God.
It's almost like we shouldn't fuck with nature.
What is he? Jeff Goldblum's like, those scientists didn't take time to consider whether they should have. They were too busy about whether they could have. Mm-hmm. Like, he was too excited about getting a dildo monster as big as a rum cask. Sucking down that screech, just hacking his eggs.
On screech, just hanging out with his ducks. Yes. And we all know what a duck pee-pee looks like. Oh, and you know that Nielsen knows what a duck dick looks like.
He was a crazy guy out there on that land doing God knows what in that fish hatchery. I don't think it was for science. I think probably it was for Dr. Moreau kind of shit. But I'm glad he left, because the people of Dildo, I feel like he left them a what sounds like a fairly peaceful beast. Aside from fears of it eating the children, there are no actual incidents of it chomping anybody or being threatening. And aside from boiling the water, you know, whooshing the water around and knocking the logs asunder, for the most part, folks were like, it kind of almost felt like it was coming up to say hi. So aww. If anything, maybe it's a friendly dildo. It just wants a place to go.
He's just misunderstood. He was Frankensteined, and now he's just looking for a friend.
He's like, I didn't want to live like this. You reach your hand out, you touch its little head, and it's like, and you're like, God damn it, I turned it on. And then you change it and it goes zzz, 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 and you click zzz, it again. It's like zzz, 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 zzz,
zzz, whoop, whoop. Some of those settings, I'm like, what? Who's this for?
I don't need to remove grout from my bathroom. Like, what the fuck? This might be the sexiest episode of Sinister at the date.
Oh, man.
I mean, real talk, I do need to get some of that grout on my bathroom. I'm not going to use that for it.
There you go.
I could, but I'm not going.
In 1938, an 18-foot-long squid washed ashore a few miles below Dildo, leading some to believe the monster of Dildo Pond could actually be a giant cephalopod. As of 1960, Trinity Bay was the only part of Newfoundland where the giant squid was ever known to have been seen. Since then, the enormous creatures have been spotted all along the coast of Newfoundland, leading to ever-increasing legends of sea monsters in the area.
And this area came up a lot during our Kraken research as well. This is mm-hmm. where they have the first picture of it. They pulled it on shore, and the Moses Harvey, the reverend slash enthusiastic naturalist, took pictures of it and stuff. So the fact that they were swirling around the area, and I think your theory may be good of like there's a little brook you can get in somehow. I don't know. You explain me how it works with the water. Maybe he had cephalopod eggs and he mixed them with fish eggs. Oh, we don't know. And then he put it in one of those things you talked about, the mortar and the pestle. You got cephalopod eggs, fish eggs, and then you take a dildo and you crush it with that.
And then this is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Dildo has attracted visitors from around the world, due in no small part to its name. In 1938, famed aviator Amelia Earhart stopped in Dildo on one of her long-haul flights to refuel. Celebrities like John Mellencamp and Meg Ryan have visited the town, snapping photos and buying souvenirs. Ryan even left an autographed photo at the town restaurant, praising the
to die for
Dildo sticky pudding.
That, you know, they have signs that are like, Meg Ryan loves dildo sticky pudding.
Oh, yeah. T-shirts.
If they don't have shirts, we're making sure.
Bumper stickers, everything.
Meg Ryan.
I do like a sticky pudding, though. So I'm not opposed to going and trying that.
I'm down to try. Also, Amelia Earhart, I hear you, girl. You have to go on a long haul flight. Stop in Dildo to refuel.
You got to. In 2019, TV host Jimmy Kimmel got wind of the hilariously named town and did a remote visit, petitioning the town to let him be mayor. Dildoians gathered near the Dildo Cove Coffee and Crafts to speak to Kimmel via cameras. After a week-long campaign where even Matt Damon tried to get in on the race, Dildo resident Andrew Petty shared the race results with the comedian on an episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
"We've ruled conditionally that you will be made honorary mayor."
Although he added a stipulation.
"We're going to give you the honor, but you've still got to come to Newfoundland at some point."
Kimmel proudly accepted the honorary title, assuring the Dildoians that,
"I will be a fair mayor. I will be a kind mayor."
I love this. It was such a thing. He sent his little sidekick down there, and just everyone was having such a great time. Mm-hmm. It was such a cool thing for this small town. I don't think he's still gone yet. And it's just an honorary title because it doesn't really have a mayor. Like, the town doesn't. But Jimmy Kimmel, what are you doing? You got to go check on your constituents.
I have a question for the people of Dildo. If we come and visit, can we unseat him? Because we beat him there.
That's true.
If you beat him, you unseat him. That's what I'm saying in my rules here.
That's what I say. I like that Matt Damon, because he'll jump in on things like this that are just silly, also threw his name in the hat. But since Jimmy Kimmel essentially ran unopposed because it's not a real office, I think we could message somebody. Granted, we're not as big as Kimmel.
No.
So, but it's going to be a hard race.
He said he will be fair and kind. I'm sorry. I will book a flight today. He told me that I could be not, that I could be in, you know, given a key to the city or a dildo.
The dildo to the city? You get.
Yeah. A bucket, a fisherman bucket hat. I don't care what it is. I will be there in a second. Unlike Jimmy Kimmel, who doesn't care. I'm just kidding.
He's probably get
way busier.
Yeah. Unlike Jimmy Kimmel, who's like, I don't know, one of the most A-list celebrities and hosts a comedy show.
Hosting the fucking Oscars. Okay, yeah. Busy guy. I'm sorry. You're okay, so fine. Busy.
You have a talk
nights,
show?
Live 5 nights a week. Idiot. We make 2 podcasts that we record in advance.
Oh. But you got to be given a dildo-shaped key to the city.
Certainly. They've got to lean in. And it, yeah. But what it is it's classy. And then when people are like, is this shaped like a dildo? They're like, no. Of course not. It's just
like, what is
subtly.
This switch back here? Why don't you turn it on and see?
Why does your key have a rounded in? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. How about I had a little extra time on the playground. But yeah, I love Jimmy Kimmel for bits like this. I think that he's very funny, and I think he's pure-hearted with things like this. Like, he's never too. That's why I like to laugh with him, because I don't ever feel like people are the butt of the joke. He's like laughing with them too, of like, this is incredible and I love it. And him and Matt Damon, I love that. I'm fucking Matt Damon is still a banger. It's still a hit. It's a song he wrote a long time ago, and it's still a hit.
The attention Kimmel brought to the small town was much appreciated, with one resident telling the CBC,
"We're proud of our little community, and it's getting a lot of show right now. It's just a beautiful thing."
Dildoian Randy Suley echoed the sentiment, telling the publication,
"Dildos received more exposure in the past 2 weeks, perhaps, than it ever has before. It's so wonderful."
Adding that,
"The business community are nothing but winners out of all this." Which I would think
so. I love that. Yeah. It's like, the UK just reported like businesses every night were pulling in like 1 million when the Eras Tour was there. So things like this, when a celebrity mentions it and it's a fun name and tourism spikes, it really does help out the small community like this.
I'm sure. It's like, hey, man, we got stuff. We got t-shirts we want to sell and food. It's like good for everybody. The restaurant, tourism, all that kind of stuff.
Indeed, the quaint coastal town has seen a dramatic increase in tourism since all of the media attention. Now, people from across the globe travel to Dildo to enjoy the scenery and activities the town offers. Noticing a need for a community hub, the Dildo Brewing Company and Museum was revamped a few years ago. Located on the breathtaking waterfront, the full-service taproom serves craft beer and tasty food. Parishioners are often treated to sightings of whales and icebergs, depending on the season.
The way I would lose it, if I'm just having a fucking beer and a whale swims by.
Dude.
But like you said, we have to realize that folks live in much prettier places than we do. And one of those places is Dildo. Sorry, yeah. I've said Dallas is my second favorite city behind Chicago. And now it might be my third, because it might go Chicago, then Dildo, then Dallas. I'm so sorry. We just have to rewrite the song and say, I'm getting dick down in Dildo.
It works so much better, too.
It does, indeed.
I know. I marvel at places where you could just be sitting washing the water and a huge fucking whale tail comes up out of the sea and you're just like, that's just down there.
Not the kind you see in Mesquite either. A different kind of majestic whale tail that didn't come up out of a lady's low-rise jeans. Indeed, it was that of a true actual mammal. Because where I'm from, if you go to Sports City Cafe in Mesquite, you're seeing a whale tail, maybe you're three see or some four.
Whale tails. At least. Multiple whale tails, yeah. Especially when people are sitting on a bar stool, the whale tails come out.
It's a parade of them.
Arguably the most popular event held in Dildo is the annual festival Dildo Days, hosted by the town's mascot, Captain Dildo, a wooden statue resembling the Gorton's fisherman. Held at the end of July, attendees can expect food, fun, and fireworks. A parade of boats circle the cove, adding to the festivities. And, of course, there is no shortage of souvenirs to commemorate your time. Although the
I Survived Dildo Days
t-shirt is known to quickly sell out.
I would pay $1,000 for one of those today. In fact,
I will buy
go.
Every shirt that Dildo sells when we go.
Yeah.
And multiple glasses, really anything, a dildo. Whatever they're trying to sell me, I'm going to buy it.
Excuse me. Say it again. When we go. When. Yes.
Manifesting
that,
this.
Jimmy Kimmel, take that. This does sound like a lot of fun, though. Like, I'm in. It does. This is a good time.
We missed it this year. It was at the end of July. Damn but it. Next year. We can be there.
We can schedule it. When our folks reach out and be like, okay, you guys want to go on tour in 2025? We'll be like, yes, could you hold the last week of July? And they're like, is it for the Just for Laughs festival? And we're like, nope, but it's a different festival.
An even more fun festival.
Can we do a live show at Dildo Days? I bet
fuck
we can.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, there's probably... Well, I feel like Dildo Days, you get a bunch of people there.
Yeah, it's a good crowd.
We might not have a bad crowd.
They're like,
now they're going to have some questions.
Yeah, you guys like a band or something?
We are.
We are not a band. We are not that. We're the mayors. Yeah, there's two of us.
Yeah, right.
We're co-mayors.
Like, no, Jimmy Kimmel's our mayor. And we're like, actually, we wanted to talk to all of you about that while we have some microphones in your attention.
They're like, someone turn the system off. Turn the mic system off. But if Jimmy Kimmel wants his mayorship back, he can come back and pry it out of my hands.
Yeah.
My blood red alive hands.
Resident John Reed wrote a song for the Kimmel appearance that explained the town's name and general spirit.
D stands for our dignity, our name will never change. I is for the innocent child who should never feel ashamed. L, we fought for liberty, and D for days of old. And O spells out the loving word that we all call dildo. Uncle John is, that's what he goes by.
It's a toe tap song, and jam.
This song slaps. It's the very top. Usually we alphabetize our sources, but I'm going to make sure that this song is the top. So when you go to show notes and go to store, you can listen to it because this song hits and the music video is just an ad for Dildo. I want to go so bad.
And they put some
production
camera work and some money behind it. It's very slick.
They did. They did a good job. It's Kimmel worthy, I'd say.
It is Kimmel worthy. And the brewery also named a beer after him, the Jimmy Kim Ale.
Oh,
so
shit.
We're going to need a beer named after us.
Sinister Hops? I got you.
Ooh. Sinister Hops is pretty good. I don't drink beer either, really. But
Sidesterhood, and it's cider that's Sinister Hood Cider.
Nice. Or we get a dildo named after us.
That we can do. It's easy breezy.
We've already got the drawing of how we'd like it to look.
They're like, so with eyes on it? Yes.
Yeah.
There will be eyes. They need
and
to.
They're not focused. No. One's, they're wonky. One's on one side, one's on the other.
They must bulge like out googly like eyes. Frogs. Do you want them to bulge out? Yes, I do. I want you to feel them.
Oh, no. Like little nubbins.
Yes, they are.
Nubbed for her pleasure. Or anyone's pleasure, for that matter.
Let's do it. Sinister Hood will be right back.
Whether the pond is truly home to a monster remains to be seen. In the meantime, the good townspeople await your visit, offering a screech-in, a cod kiss, and a warm dildo welcome. So what do we think?
Truly, I feel like the folks in this town are so awesome because they really have like embraced it. In that 1985 CBC video that I saw where she was interviewing people like, do you think you should change the name? There was some guy going around trying to get people to sign a petition to change the name. And some of the residents were like, well, I signed it, but I really don't think we should change the name. And the CBC person's like, well, why did you sign it? They're like, well, he seemed really excited about it. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to sign it. Like, they were so nice about it. But one of the guys' name was Lloyd George, and they described him as a lifelong dildo resident. And he said, to me, it's so good. I would never consider changing it. Also, why change it if your name is John and people say, oh, I'm going to go use the John? You don't say, oh, my gosh, my name is the same name as a toilet. I had to change my name. And I was like, yeah, but also.
Yeah, but also, yeah, dildo's a little bit different. You but know, I'm not going to name my kid Vibrator, most likely.
Like, just because it's like there are other things called that doesn't also, like, Richard and Dick, like, there probably aren't that many dicks springing up across the country now. I hope. I don't know. Maybe there are. But the woman made a good point. The news anchor at the time said, even if they were to change the town of Dildo, you still have nearby South Dildo, Dildo Pond, and Dildo Run. So it's just like,
you're not escaping the dildos. You're surrounded by them.
No.
And embrace it. Embrace your heritage and whoever came before you that named your town the funniest name that they could have possibly named it.
It's incredible. It beats Cuckold's Cove by a landslide. Like, because you don't have to explain it. Cuckold, what is that? Because woman's like, the people of Cuckold's Cove changed it because cuckold is a term that means a woman that is a man who's been tricked by his wife. I was like, she didn't never have to explain once what dildo was. That's why it's a better named city. And I want everybody to keep your eyes peeled. 2025, my very first novel, Escape from Dildo Run, will be released. It is a sexy adventure.
Oh,
You're going to love it.
I am going to start my own series called The Adventures of Spread Eagle Island.
Yes.
And we'll see where it goes.
It's like they're going to run parallel. They're in the same universe, different characters. Yeah. But then in like the third or fourth installment, they've escaped from Dildo Run only to make it to Spread Eagle Island.
Oh, and that's when all the characters come together and it's like an Avengers type of universe.
That's going to be Endgame. Is Spread Eagle when you escape from Dildo Run and make it to Spread Eagle Island? That's when Tony Stark
be in game. That's what that song is about.
I just thought it was about Tony Stark making the ultimate sacrifice.
That's about Dildo Island. It's about the trials and tribulations of Spread Eagle Island. You're gonna have to tune into my multi-part book series to find out what happens.
I can't wait.
Me and CJ Pernard,
dude.
You got to come to the Full Moon Energy Show to get that reference.
If you know, you know. No, someday we'll be USA Today best-selling authors. But until then, we're going to have to make a run to Dildo, check out Stinking Cove, Useless Bay, Witless Bay, all of them. We're going to have to make a whole.
All of them.
Yeah.
Can't wait to visit the brewery / museum.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they were like, the owners came in and they were like, there's a ton of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
We need kind of a place where everyone can gather.
Mm-hmm.
So a restaurant / brewery / museum on a beautiful spot right on the water sounds like the perfect place to do that.
They're doing such a favor to everyone too, because that's like the two places most people want to visit. And now it's like, you just park your car once, you're good to go.
Right?
Yeah. We linked it in the show notes too, but there's a guy that's like a YouTuber that he goes around on an RV and he made a video of visiting there. And it looks like such a fun, quaint little place for real. And very welcoming, and you also see the edges of the pond where these sightings allegedly happen. So it's not a huge pond, and it's an accessible place. And go out there late, like wait till dusk, get you some screech, sip on the screech, and just, it's like when we went down to Lake Isabella in Loveland in Ohio to try to see if we could see the Frogman.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to get you a little beverage, sit by the water, and see what the dildo
see
pops
what happens.
Out. It's like the Great Pumpkin. You have to be most sincere, and then the dildo will make itself.
That's the only way it will present itself. Would you go swimming in the pond?
I think so. It seems like a clean place. And if worst case scenario, I see nothing. Best case scenario, I'm eaten by the monster of Dildo Pond and that's going on my tombstone.
That's the best case. I think that's, oh, well, no, that was too much.
Well, the impossible case, but we wish it could happen. Well, if that, even though that last case scenario might not happen, we can all close our eyes and imagine, and we'll visit. We'll make a whole run of it, and they can call it Dunfield all they want, but Cuckold's Cove, it'll always be in my heart.
I can't wait to go. If you're from there, you've been, you got pictures, send them to us. If you know the captain, I know he's a wooden statue, but if you know the captain, I'd like to meet him.
Yes.
And if you've seen the dildo monster, we certainly want to hear about that. You can send it in to Freaky Friday.
Please, please do. Yeah, let us know if you've been. Let us know if you or somebody in your family has seen it. Is it something that's a story that gets kicked around? Or if you're from Dildo and you're like, we've never even heard of that monster. I go to the sources. We're not making it up. But I love whenever people from a place are like, that's wild that that got printed. That's like totally not true. But if you think it's not true, just ask elders in your family, because I want to know, like, old guard, like people that have been like the lifelong residents and stuff, and be like, oh yeah, my grandpa used to tell me about that. I love stories like that. So like Christy said, send them in to Freaky Friday. You can go to sinisterhood.com/contact, and there's a button there that says submit for Freaky Friday. Send it our way. We'd love to hear about it, your experience with the
dildos. Now, don't just send us pictures of giant dildos.
Please don't do that. Please don't.
You are welcome to send us pictures of the giant dildo monster.
Yes.
Unless, and yes. We'll have to post Heather's artist rendering on our socials when this comes out.
I'll scan it in for sure.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of segments like True Crime Headlines, Judge Christie, various Reddit segments, Heather Saves, Dear Sinister. We got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, last week we just released a True Crime Headlines. We talked a little bit about some updates, including Alec Murdoch's request for a new trial, as well as the Karen Reed case. And upcoming, we have a Reddit relationship advice episode, which is very off the wall and wild. So you will enjoy hearing that. It'll come out later this week. And don't forget, we also have free trials. If you do join for free, you can just stay a free member forever, and you just get the single bonus content from our archives we send out once a month. But if you join at a free trial, then you just get all the perks of whatever tier you select. And if you cancel before the week is up, you won't get charged, or stick around and do an annual membership and get 1 month free. Oh, and the live Q&A, if you're listening, is going to be tomorrow night. That's Thursday at 8 p.m. Central.
So you can do your free trial and check that out. See if you like it. A lot of people do that. Also, you get merch discounts when you become certain members of our Patreon, and you can stack those on top of each other too.
Absolutely. You get ad-free episodes, monthly live streams, weekly audio bonuses, monthly minisodes, the merch discounts, and really the best thing, the community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Yeah. We recently released a minisode that is one of the most gruesome and harrowing tales we've discussed before, about a serial killer from Alaska. So that is up there, and we have a couple more coming for you soon as well. And for recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show, and make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And be sure to shop the clearance sale as well. And if you want, you can go to Patreon on the pinned post and get your Patreon discount code to make sure you're getting the best deal.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to leave us a review. We would love one that has 5 stars, if you would be so kind. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. Don't sleep on that Uncle John song, y'all.
It slaps.
You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets for all the full moon energy shows.
Yeah, in September, we're coming to see y'all, San Diego, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. And don't, you better get that Dallas tickets before they sell out. People wait to the last minute. Don't wait till the last minute, because it will sell out.
It will.
You can find us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of the episodes on YouTube. You can watch them ad-free on Patreon as well. And check out clips of the show on TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. And if you want a custom video shout out from us to you, head over to cameo.com and let us know what message you'd like us to deliver. We love to give pep talks. We've given advice videos. People order cameos for themselves just essentially to get, like, ask us a one-on-one question or have us give them advice on something. We also have friends buy them for each other as a congratulations, or spouses getting it as a birthday gift, or siblings. We love to see the beautiful beautiful relationship of our listeners, and we get to be a part of it through Cameo. So if you want us or the Corn Skull or the Popple or whatever to make an appearance, or McGruff, head over to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at online?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the computer at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. All the way to Dildo Pond. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. Melissa Tenorio.
Janelle.
Keeks.
Rachel Johnson.
Kirsten Borden.
Marianne Williams.
My thing jumped up. Lane C.
Allie Campbell.
Amanda Otto.
Lucy Lee.
Alyssa Ruchling.
And Ryan Farley. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate all your love and support. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Get on over to Dildo Pond and keep it creepy.
Sinister.